Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. Today, with sexual harassment allegations still swirling around Republican presidential hopeful Herman Cain, we're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace. Before the break, we heard about the legal ins and outs. Now we want to look at how companies respond to sexual harassment complaints. That's where Katrina Campbell comes in. She's vice president for training and education at Global Compliance, and companies hire her to provide workplace training when their employees are accused of harassment. She also helps companies prevent sexual harassment in the first place. We caught up with her on a scratchy cell phone before she headed off on a business trip. Katrina, would you start off by giving some examples of the types of sexual harassment you've dealt with?
Oh, there are many, and it's funny because I was listening to the stories about Herman Cain. Obviously, I have no involvement with that, but I have heard so many actual stories that are similar in nature to that kind of story, where a person in a position of influence or power, maybe it's the boss or maybe it's a potential boss, makes an advance and then suggests that that advance is due to the person's ability to be able to give you a job or give you a raise or give you a promotion. I once had a situation where a very senior person was accused of sexual harassment of a subordinate employee over whom he had been sort of paternal and protective, but he got into some drugs and taking some prescription medication, and because of that kind of lost his control and started emailing her and almost stalking her. We have lots of situations where people engage in joke telling. They tell stories that they heard on the TV over the weekend, or, you know, gestures that they see on the football field. They think it's okay to do at work. That's a really common thing. And then they don't know why the person is offended by this kind of behavior.
Even in the case of Herman Cain, you know, he has said, I do have a sense of humor, and some people may have a problem with that. So there is this nod to the possibility that I was just joking and someone misperceived or misunderstood what I was doing. That's something that you see or hear often in your training sessions and your experience?
All the time. All the time it comes up that a person may say, well, reasonable minds could differ over exactly what happened, but I may have done something, but I didn't mean it to be insulting. I meant it all in fun. But the problem with that is the person doesn't make clear in the moment that it's all in fun. It almost seems like it's an after-the-fact thought. And when you have a person that's in a position of power, they have to be very, very careful about what they do that's in jest and what they do that's serious, because anything they do is going to be taken seriously by subordinate people who are under their influence. And back in the 1990s, I think we had a much different world than we even have now from a training and education standpoint. But, you know, it's hard to believe that a person really doesn't know the level of power and influence that they can have over others and just say, oh, you know, I was just joking. Oh, I didn't really mean it.
On that note, when you hear particularly high-level executives say, I was just kidding around, do you believe that they believe that, or is that a convenient defense when it becomes a problem, what they said was a problem?
I believe that they can convince themselves that they really were just kidding around. I don't believe in most cases that it's true that they really were just kidding, in that there really were no ramifications to what they were doing. You know, that if you said, come on, that's not funny, let it go, that there really would be no downside. And that's the real problem. If I don't go along with your joking and kidding, boss or CEO, what happens to me? Do I not get invited to the next outing? Do I not get included in the next meeting because I can't take your jokes or because I can't take your advances, your little touches or your little hugs? You know, the next person who's willing to do that, do they get better treatment than I do? That's the problem. And it doesn't mean that leaders can't be funny. It doesn't mean they can't be cool. But it does mean that we no longer operate in a world where it's cool to be funny in a way that is sexually, you know, harassing or negative to someone because of their sex or race or age or some other protected characteristic.
Do you find that this sometimes breaks down on generational lines, that older people, particularly older men, are more likely to think this joking is fine?
I mean, I hesitate to say that, but I will say that the more we have environments where women are present in leadership positions, the less we see this assumption that I can say and do anything I want to. So to some extent, I have to say yes. Maybe it's not totally based on age, but based more so on generations in the workforce. that, yes, where we had the old boy network, as we used to say, you'll find that that's more so acceptable. But even then, I always have to remind people that even in those situations back in the day, there were lots of men in the room who didn't appreciate that conduct either. You know, just because no one talked about it or no one stood up and said, I don't like this or this is inappropriate, even those men had wives and daughters and mothers, and they wouldn't want their wives and daughters and mothers talked about that way. Today, we have a lot more presence of women, and I think it's a lot less acceptable.
So, Katrina Campbell, in the workplace sexual harassment training you do, what do you do to change the behaviors of people who don't seem to get it? And then what do you advise to employees who feel that they're being harassed?
Any training now really has to cover a couple of key points. One, I would say training serves two purposes, education and notice. First, I want to educate you as to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable behavior, or at least the concepts around that. Second is, if you still don't want to follow the rules, then training serves notice to you. It allows you to know that if you lose your job, I always say, if you have to go home and tell your spouse, I lost my job today because I said or did this, at least you knew that could happen. So for the person who is belligerent, who thinks, well, that's just who I am and I can be how I want to be, and I encounter a lot of that, not just in leadership positions, but at every level, then I say, fine. You know, it serves notice to you. Training also has to include examples, scenarios of the kinds of behavior we're discussing. You can't just cite case law, right? But we can talk through those examples about what is acceptable, what's not. And then we can talk about what do you do if you feel like you're the target, you're the victim, you're being harassed. Who do you go to within the organization? And our courts have told us you can go to any supervisor. That doesn't mean your supervisor. You can go to any supervisor in the organization or human resources or your compliance officer, and they absolutely have to address it.
Katrina Campbell is Vice President for Training and Education at Global Compliance. She's been speaking to us about sexual harassment in the workplace and how to prevent it. Katrina, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Sasha.
Tomorrow on Here and Now, reading the election tea leaves in the swing state of Ohio. Today, voters are deciding whether to keep or repeal a new state law that limits the collective bargaining rights of public employees, including firefighters and police. That's tomorrow. News is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Phillips Healthcare, dedicated to improving access, managing costs, and helping clinicians improve care globally at phillips.com/healthcare. And the Institute of Contemporary Art, Boston, presenting Dance Draw, an exploration of art and performance on view now, icaboston.org.